Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12. Gorgeous day on the Isle of Man today. And the man in line is open line through till 1. You can text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com. Or call 66 13 68. Well, as of 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, no new confirmed cases of COVID-19. That's 85 days. The release from the government today is at 4 o'clock, and you'll hear the state of play in the 4 o'clock news on Manx Radio this afternoon. So as we stand, total tests on the Isle of Man, 9,019 tests. There have been 9,004 concluded tests, 15 people awaiting results of a test, 22 people awaiting tests. And that's where we stand as far as that's concerned. Other notes to remember, it's going to be a fortnight today. We will have two new MHKs, because a fortnight today, a week next Thursday, is the Douglas South by-election. That's happening with 10 candidates. And, of course, we got two programmes, talking to five at a time this coming Monday. And a week on Monday, we'll be talking to the candidates. And the day after the poll, it's going to be that four-day bank holiday weekend. 4 days off for that bank holiday weekend, and then suddenly we'll be in September 2020. What a year it's been. You may have heard this morning on Manx Radio News about the man who's broken his two-week self-isolation after returning to the island. Lewis Foster's got the latest. Lewis?
Well, government is currently at stage 4 of its border framework, meaning residents are allowed to travel to the UK and beyond as long as they self-isolate for 2 weeks when they return. A Manx entry permit and landing form is required, so government can track and trace people and ensure they are fully aware of the rules. It's been that way since the 20th of July. This week, however, one person has slipped through the cracks. 64-year-old Paul Stephen Dowd of Domain Road, Douglas, was told to self-isolate following his return to the island from the 1st to the 15th of August. He signed an agreement promising to do so. 6 days later, on the 7th of August, however, Dowd went to the convenient shopping centre on Windsor Road and then spent the evening in the Rosemount pub watching the football and drinking. The following night, he even took a bus to the Manx Arms in Onchan to have a drink and watch a friend play live music. Later on that night, he posted to Facebook saying, "I've been out, stuff 'em, good night all, and stay safe." He was questioned by police on Tuesday, and he said he'd broken quarantine because he was bored. In court, he'd pleaded guilty to breaching COVID regulations by failing to self-isolate and was sentenced to 6 weeks in prison. What's unclear at this stage is whether Dowd was tested for COVID-19 or the circumstances by which he was caught. But Manx Radio has contacted government for comment.
We'll hear more as we get information from government. I just wondered what you thought of that. You can call on 66 13 68, text or email as well. The situation where somebody has now been sentenced to prison. Of course, this happened right at the beginning of the lockdown when people weren't taking the lockdown seriously, and jail sentences were imposed on people who transgressed. Of course, we were under the situation of an emergency at the time. There was a state of emergency declared by the Lieutenant Governor. I just wonder how you feel about this and whether or not, I mean, obviously now we have people who are coming back, people have been across to the UK, and they sign a document. They sign a document to say they'll abide by these rules. They'll take it seriously. Here's one gentleman who hasn't and now has a six-week jail term. Texters, any thought about this? Noted from G said, the story about the guy breaching COVID rules highlights the risks of trusting some people. We've heard nothing from the government about how many checks the border team have actually done on quarantining people. I wouldn't expect them to tell us at the moment, because what they say is things are done randomly. And if you've come back from the UK, if you've returned and you've self-isolated, I just wonder how the situation is for you. Text us as well, email or call as well. Let's hope nobody dies from coronavirus due to somebody breaching quarantine regulations, says that correspondent as well. AD, by the way, apparently it's very cloudy in Glen Alden. We might have sun in Douglas. Glen Alden's really cloudy, so send us some of that weather. All right. Laughable and nonsensical and ludicrous is some of the language used by David Christian, the head, the boss, the leader of Douglas Council, after the local authority Douglas Council has been asked by the government to advertise the vacancies for empty seats for councillors. David Christian says the guidance results in an unnecessary spend of ratepayer money at a time when money's tight. Government says it's important to uphold representation at the level of commissioner. The details on this is a kind of fundamental thing on Manx democracy. And with the details, our democracy reporter, Aaron Ibanez.
At Douglas Borough Council's meeting this week, government advice, which has instructed local authorities to make up their numbers, was branded absolutely laughable.
It just seems ludicrous that we've got a government that have taken us through probably the most difficult time the Isle of Man has faced since the last war, you know, that they couldn't come up with a way of ensuring that Douglas in particular, that still has 16 members serving at this time, didn't have to fill these vacancies.
The Department of Infrastructure has sought to address the uncertainty felt by local authorities as to how they go about filling their empty seats following the postponement of the April election because of COVID-19. But it's left council leader David Christian unimpressed, who argues the advice to ensure democratic representation is nonsense and a complete and utter waste of ratepayer money. It comes as a number of vacancies across the island's 21 local authorities came up between November and May, leaving some without full membership. Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker says the changes to the election date created a confused picture and so guidance needed to be issued.
I mean, the local government unit in DOI is there to support and oversee the local authorities, but ultimately the local authorities are a decision-making body of their own and they will make the decisions. The guidance that's been sent out from the department tries to clarify what they ought to do. I mean, there are some authorities with fairly complex situations, so some authorities might have up to three vacancies which arose at different time periods and potentially are affected by different rules, because there's a general rule that there's no need to hold a by-election to fill a vacancy within 6 months of an election date. But obviously the election date being moved by 12 months creates some confusion around that. Local authorities have got an important role in the fabric of democracy on the Isle of Man, and you know, we need to make sure that is being fulfilled as well, and there's a balance to be had. So if there's a judgment call to be made, the decision is for the local authority. There are obviously some complex cases as well where some local authorities are in the middle of a transition to a lower number of members going forward, or even a restructuring of their wards.
And that's what precisely Mr Christian takes issue with.
We've been advised that we needed to declare the vacancies, so there's actually an advert, public advert has gone out this week advising that there are these public vacancies. I believe there's already been an approach with two people coming forward to say that it should be filled. That'll have to be looked at now to see whether they are voters for that area and have they done it in a correct manner. Have they put in a signed letter requesting the election? But to me, it is absolutely ludicrous. By the time we hold the election, they'll have a maximum of 8 months in a ward that's going to disappear. You know, the cost to the ratepayers at a time when, you know, we're really looking tough budget next year. You know, our income is considerably down. We're trying to cut corners every way possible. There's 16 members here. Okay, we have one still left representing Derby Ward, a very active member for Derby Ward, so it's not as if that was not represented. But one member stood up today and turned around and said, once you're elected, you represent Douglas, not just the ward that votes you in. So there's still 16 serving members. Those 16 members could see Derby Ward through until April next year when the local authority general election takes place.
Last year, the council agreed to reduce the number of councillors from 18 to 12 and the number of wards from 6 to 4. Isle of Man Green Party councillor Andrew Bentley is the sole representative of Derby Ward, the town's smallest constituency. Following the resignation of one member and the death of former Mayor Debbie Pitts, it now has two vacant seats. Mr Bentley told the council on Wednesday that he has the capacity to manage the constituency and that any newly elected councillors would only have enough time to find the light switches. This is echoed by the council leader.
So it seems ludicrous now that we're being told that we should hold the election for a ward that doesn't exist from April next year to fill two vacancies. So that's a cost if it's a contested election to both the candidate standing and to the ratepayers of Douglas by holding an election. Then by the time you train people and they've managed to find their way around the procedures and standing orders of council, their term will be up and they'll have to stand in a completely different area if they want to continue again. Or if we only have two names coming forward to fill the seats, well, then you can have two people coming in who've got no public mandate mandate whatsoever because they've not had a contested election. It just seems ludicrous that we've got a government that have taken us through probably the most difficult time the Isle of Man has faced since the last war, you know, that they couldn't come up with a way of ensuring that Douglas in particular, that still has 16 members serving at this time, didn't have to fill these vacancies. To me, it's absolutely ludicrous and a complete not a waste of ratepayers' money and a waste of money of anybody who's standing.
It's a decision to be made, isn't it? Which is more important, do you think? The money or the representation? 8 months the council will possibly have in the seat as well. There is somebody representing Derby Ward, and Douglas Council is being reduced in size anyway. I just wonder what you think about this. Government will say, obviously, they're upholding this. It's the principle of democracy. That's the situation, and it just has to be done. Any thoughts? Text, email, or you can give us a call, 66 13 68. They're scrambling in the various parts, in France, the Netherlands and Malta. Apparently, British tourists are scrambling in France, the Netherlands and Malta to get back before those quarantine rules come in. Those travel corridors are being closed in the UK. And here we are, sitting on top of 85 days with no new confirmed cases. Joe says, for sheer stupidity, this guy should get double the sentence. I don't think that comes into it, but that's your point of view. FC, a Manxman gets jail for breaking isolation laws. Our staff were put at risk by key workers arriving on the boat on Monday and Tuesday, coming into contact with our staff in a public area. Police were called, given video proof, but won't act. One rule for us, one for government contractors on the prom, says FC. We'd love to see that video proof, FC, by the way, if you want to forward that to newsroom@manxradio.com. We'd love to see your point of view. Charlie says, and when this guy's released, the police should make him start his self-isolation again. Another 14 days in the house, take away his toys so he can't play, and leave him to teach him a lesson for anyone else who thinks they can break the isolation rule. The word that's been used many, many times by politicians, people on this programme as well, is complacency. We live in a world now which a lot of people don't have. We don't have to socially distance. We don't have to self-isolate, apart from people who are coming back to the Isle of Man. And we're getting on with our lives. And not many other people have this situation. But the disease, the virus, is raging in other parts. And the closing down of those tourist corridors that Britain has put in, France, the Netherlands, Malta, shows that that's what the situation is, how we respond to it. And, of course, someday, and every time a minister comes on the man in line, you hear them say, I always ask them, they always reply the same. It's not a question of if there will be a case of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. It's a question of when. A text in that says, Andy, that's pretty harsh, but needed. I'm on day 12 of quarantine. I've only been contacted once since I returned. The country I visited while away sends you straight to a quarantine hotel on arrival and give you a COVID test. You're isolated in your room with no contact with anyone. Once a negative result is returned, you're released, but you've got to check in with the Department of Health every day. I forgot to check in and supply my health information one day and was called by the Department for Health immediately. Every public place, such as a restaurant, requires you to give your name and contact number before entry as part of track and trace. That country has a population of 52 million, but has only had around 250 deaths with COVID-19. Another one, a half-baked idea, says John. Is that the half-baked idea about the democracy or the man being sent to jail? There's been a four-car crash on Quarterbridge Road in Douglas. The junction with Alexander Drive is closed. Police and fire crews are dealing with the incident. And police, you're being asked to avoid the area. Well, as Quarterbridge Road is now taking the slack of what's happening on Douglas Promenade, it may be somewhat difficult. So expect Johnny Watterson's Lane around Tramode to become very, very busy. So the junction with Alexander Drive on Quarterbridge Road by Aggo's Leap, there's been a four-car crash. The junction with Alexander Drive is closed. Police and fire crews are there. We'll let you know when that's all calmed down, but it's not going to be for quite a while as well. Text, email or call on the man in line today. All you need to do is get in touch, put your point of view. We're always happy to take your call. And one thing I must tell you, and somebody said, you mentioned the Douglas South by-election. Yes, it is. It's a week next Thursday. And the two MHKs who are replacing the late Bill Mullarkey and Kate Costain will be in for just about a year because there'll be House of Keys election next year, September 2021. Anthony Allen, Pamela Jane Bernie Mullarkey, Claire Sarah Beverly Christian, Ian James Clanton, David Anthony Fowler, Andrew Charles Richard Jessop, Michael David Derek Joseph, Kevin Oliphant Smith, Lon Pinkerton, Stephen Paul Quine are the 10. On Monday, and a week on Monday, we'll have a programme with five of them on each, and they'll be talking about what they see as the future for Douglas South and their particular candidacy. And, of course, and on Thursday 27th, we'll have a live programme to see who are the two new MHKs. That's all coming up on Manx Radio. And if you go to manxradio.com, there's a full background article to it. Do you fancy helping to oversee health and social care on the Isle of Man? Two new members are being sought for the Isle of Man Research and Ethics Committee. And they'd like to hear from you. Maybe you want to be involved. Research and Ethics Committee is a body responsible for reviewing health and social care research projects on the Isle of Man. The committee's remit includes reviewing research to formally assess if the research and the processes being used are ethical, where they involve human participants, human tissue, or identifiable data. Now, vacancies are for an expert member and a lay member, and if you want to get involved, applications are invited for those with prior experience working in the fields of health and social care or research, as well as those who have no previous involvement. Now, if you want to get involved, candidates will have a strong commitment to protecting patients and the public, as well as recognising the need for ethical standards in research. If you want to get involved, the closing date for applications is Monday 31st, and you can call the research and development people. Speak to Dr. McAdam. Paul McAdam is on 685-987. That's 685-987. Dr. McAdam will be there. You can claim expenses for travel to meetings and training and events, but these are voluntary positions to get involved providing oversight of health and social care research on the Isle of Man. 24 minutes past 12. Text, email, call on the man in line today. Should we spy on people who are self-isolating?
Does your accountant support your business? At Nicola Bowker & Co., we help over 200 businesses to thrive. See how we can help your business. Contact Nicola Bowker & Co. today on 861271 for a free meeting.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use all the metal working tools.
If it's made of metal, we can make it. Visit the island's premier steel suppliers and fabricators and see what we can do for you.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals, A&B Metals.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance, liability, professional indemnity and more. Aon combines expertise and full remote working ability with access to top insurance providers worldwide. Call 692-400 or search online for Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Now there are new essentials on your shopping list. You want enhanced hygiene permanently. You want to shop nearby and not overpay. You want open till 10 Monday to Saturday to avoid peak time queues and special hours for the elderly and vulnerable. You want to do the right thing and support Manx jobs and businesses. You want shopping with a welcome difference, like ranges by Sainsbury's. Where can you find every one of the new essentials? ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
With people carrying less spare change in their pockets, it's becoming harder for them to make spontaneous donations to charity. so we wanted to make it easier for you to support your hospice. Introducing Tap to Donate. By tapping your contactless payment device on one of our terminals in a shop, you can help us to help you. Because every penny donated really does make a life-changing difference. To find out more, go to hospice.org.im/tap to donate.
Paysetter, the longest established bathroom showroom on the island, for expert advice and bathroom solutions that work, with new innovations and designs, including the latest walk-in showers. From practical, accessible bathrooms for an aging generation to the ultimate in luxury, domestic or commercial, visit Paysetter Tile and Bathroom Showroom, Harris Terrace, Douglas, or search online for Paysetter Douglas.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And we're here every weekday with the morning's main stories.
To me, it's absolutely ludicrous and a complete not a waste of ratepayers' money and a waste of money of anybody who's standing.
People don't have to leave our shores in order to have a professional football experience. You know, that's what we want to do, and then the players on the pitch hopefully then will give them a fantastic performance.
It was just about getting 100 miles in under my repertoire this time, and I'm just really glad that I managed to do it.
We'll be back on Monday from 7:30, rounding up all the latest developments, along with the weather for the day ahead and all the travel news.
So join us on Monday for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
Thank you, Big Joe. Big Joe clarified it. He said, when I meant stupidity, I meant the fact that the guy who's now in jail for 6 weeks for breaking his self-isolation put all his information on Facebook like nobody was watching. All right, thank you for that. Thank you for the guy who said he sent the clip of the video of the key workers to us here at Manx Radio. We're interested to take a look at that. Correspondent says, well, it's too late now. It's up to God. The floodgates are open. We're just sitting ducks for the COVID. The island could have been a big experiment. And, of course, we trusted our government. Should we trust the government now? Text, email or call? Or do we just have to open? Do we have to open on this? And Sandra says, should we spy on people? Yes. So... And we talked about this right at the beginning. Do you remember when it was all locked down and you couldn't visit each other's house? Seems years ago now. It was only 2-3 months ago. But when people weren't allowed to go to anybody else's house, and people were reported for this, should we be going back to this? Or, in fact, should we know who is supposed to be self-isolating? But does that seem a bit draconian to you, or do you think it's something that we should do? If people have been, but I mean, if you do go across, if you leave the Isle of Man, you know when you leave what the rules are. In Britain, you have to put a mask on your face. So it's not like you don't know. Coming back to the Isle of Man, you're told what the rules are. You have to get in touch with the Isle of Man. You're given permission to come back. And if somebody willfully doesn't self-isolate, what can you do? Seriously, what can you do? The politicians have always been talking about getting out of our lives. This will mean inviting them back into our lives. I want to bring up a subject which is close to many, many people's hearts, and it's Robert Owen House. Every year, hundreds of people from the Isle of Man go to Broad Green Hospital in Liverpool for a range of treatments, including fitting of pacemakers, bypass surgeries, and other procedures. And family members who go with the people who are in Broad Green stay at Robert Owen House. It's a Manx charity which supports the facility, and the friends of Robert Owen House are celebrating a significant anniversary this year. June Young is from the Friends of Robert Owen House, and she talks about how important it is to have access to the accommodation. She's talking to Beth.
The house is right opposite the hospital. You can stay there with, you've got family. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, I'm going back 21 years. I can show you the front of the house. It was one little block, and now we've got extensions on. And we tried to give from the Isle of Man £25,000 a year. We're only a small charity, but we do our best.
Tell me about the phone line that you have.
This is our 24-hour phone line. It's, the number is 333-008. And at the end of that phone is Mrs. Ruth Denley. It's a mobile hotline for anybody that needs it.
And so that's if anybody needs to organise accommodation?
Oh, talk or chat or, you know, how they are. That's fine.
Tell me about the birthday party.
Well, this is special because we're celebrating our 21st. So we're having a birthday party on Sunday, the 16th of August at Milltown and Lazare, 3:45 p.m. in the afternoon. Tickets are £20 per person. And to book, you ring me on 897-424. Afternoon tea and fun. We were going to have it earlier in the year, but as things are, we're having it now. And aren't we lucky to be able to celebrate? Then we have a Friends of Robert Owen House Tombola 2020. Some excellent prizes. This is going to be drawn at our Christmas event on the 5th of December.
If you could put into words just what a difference Robert Owen House makes to the people of the Isle of Man, how would you describe that?
It's a home from home, really. And you get wonderful support from the staff that are there. Just great.
If you want more information about the Friends of Robert Owen House, they have a Facebook page. That's an Isle of Man charity. The main aims are supporting the work of Robert Owen House Trust in providing accommodation for relatives and carers of patients who find themselves in the Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital. Let's go to Peter, who's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Hello, good afternoon, Andy.
Hi, Peter.
Couple of things. First of all, thank you to the government for finally starting to patch the roads up. And then up on Governor's Hill, in what I would call the village green, they put the monstrosity of a telephone mast. Now, I understand they're necessary, but they haven't even made an attempt to disguise it. And so it really looks out of place. I would have thought with planning permission, they would have made a proviso that they disguised it in some way. And it's next to some trees, so it wouldn't be too difficult to disguise it as a tree.
Oh, yeah, like the one they've done in Ramsey that's a tree, isn't it?
I don't know, Andy. I'll take your word for it.
Well, it's so well disguised, you didn't know it was there. There is. There's a mobile phone mast in Ramsey. As you come down the mountain road, look on your left-hand side now, the bottom, and there's a phone mast in the middle of some trees.
Well, that proves it can be done, so why wasn't it done on Governor's Hill?
Okay. Where are they patching the roads, by the way?
Well, they've just done Pull Rose and made a super job. They're doing Stony Road now. So they're actually getting it done. I haven't seen them so much activity for ages.
Okay. Do you drive for a living, Peter?
I'm a taxi driver, yes.
Okay. How's business at the moment, by the way?
Up and down, like always. There's no airports and no sea terminals, which, as you can imagine, the airport is a big drop. Okay. But people are coming back.
Good. All right, Peter, thanks for being with us today.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Good to talk to you. That's 25 to 1 on Manx Radio. Lots of people talking about Robert Owen House and the work that it's done. If you've got any stories about Robert Owen, that would be nice to hear, because it's always nice to give them a plug. They do some terrific work, £25,000 a year to that facility. Jane says, Andy, this isn't spying. Monitoring is a better term. If people sign to follow the rules to return from other countries, they should expect to be monitored. And I think the most reasonable people wouldn't have a problem with that. You know the rules before you go away. Follow the rules when you come back. Government passed laws last year. They can put up phone masts in your garden and they don't need planning permission. Nothing you can do about it, says that correspondent. Is that true? The guy that broke the quarantine rules at the age of 64... must have some problems. That's all I can say, says that correspondent as well. A notice in, somebody says, this is Andrea, said, Andy, I think Mrs. Corlett, the Central Douglas MHK, Anne Corlett, questioned the minister, Ray Harmer, on the very subject of the Douglas Council representation in Tynwald. Perhaps Minister Harmer could come to Manx Radio and explain why his answer was different to the legislation. Well, Ray Harmer isn't infrastructure minister now. It's Tim Baker. Ray Harmer is now policy and reform after he took the place of Chris Thomas. Andy, let's say, text us on 166177. It seems like sport's coming back on the Isle of Man. The meetings that are going ahead, the matches that are going ahead, rugby from the Isle of Man to Guernsey. There's a cricket match as well. And an historic moment for sport on the Isle of Man is going to take place tomorrow. FC Isle of Man plays for the first time. Now, the club, which is going to be playing in the English league system next year, of course, in the same league as Bury, hosts Guernsey at the Bowl. They reckon there are going to be 2,000 people at the Bowl tomorrow. Maybe you're one of them. Sean Cowper caught up with the manager, Chris Bass, and director of football, Paul Jones. Big, big, big moment.
My expectations would be having a good look at my own players to see whether they can handle this kind of pressure, see whether they're up to playing at the level that we're going to require them to play at. Because you've got to remember, Guernsey have been doing the pyramid now for 10 years and they already play at two levels above us. So depending on if Guernsey have bought all their best players, then we're in for a very difficult afternoon. So the more difficult it is, then it's the more challenging for my players. So the test is, you know, it's there. If you people are going to be down, the 2,000 people, hopefully, will find out, along with myself, who's up to doing the job.
And what have preparations been like for Guernsey? Have you had much chance to look at how they play?
No, I haven't. But history tells me when we've played Guernsey in the past, it's always been difficult. I think we were fortunate enough to beat them in the last Island Games final. But beyond that, I don't think we've really done very well against Guernsey in the past.
You're hoping to change that then?
Over the next few years, yeah, we hope to be alongside Guernsey, if not surpass Guernsey. That's the aim. We want to get as high as we can.
And what's the setup going to be like on the day? It's an evening kickoff. What's going to be happening?
Yeah, my expectations of the game, they're not different to Chris's, because definitely agree with everything he's saying from a football side of things, but we're hoping people come down and enjoy the experience. You know, we want our home games to be big community events. We've got the Parish Pantry, we've got Conrad's Coffee, we've got Ballachelly Farm, we've got Gelato all down doing food and drink from 5 o'clock onwards. We've got some live music before the game as well. We're really trying to make it an event of which the football is a significant part of, rather than it just being a normal football game that people would experience on the Isle of Man. So people don't have to leave our shores in order to have a professional football experience. You know, that's what we want to do, and then the players on the pitch hopefully then will give them a fantastic performance in order to make everything even more worthwhile than it is already.
Well, there they are, the two guys behind it. The manager of FC Isle of Man, Chris Bass, director of football is Paul Jones. The match kicks off tomorrow. It's on tomorrow evening, 6:30 at the Bowl. Tickets are available from the website. It's fcisleofman.im, all lowercase. fcisleofman, all one word, .im. You can get tickets for FC Isle of Man versus Guernsey. Can people pay cash on the gate to get in, Pompey Pete? Not heard of so far. Just if you want to give them a call, I think there's a number on the FC Isle of Man website. That's fcisleofman.im. But it's going to be a great time tomorrow. FC Isle of Man versus Guernsey tomorrow at the Bowl. Tony said, why isn't this person being named? The person, well, you can hear it on the news. The guy who returned to the Isle of Man via the airport and got the regulation, he was supposed to self-isolate and basically didn't. His name is Paul Stephen Dowd. Paul Stephen Dowd was supposed to have self-isolated his designated address in Domain Road in Douglas and didn't. Went to the pub, went here, there and everywhere, and is now sitting in Jerby. So, Tony, that's him. That's Paul Stephen Dowd. I just want to take a moment also to remind you that today is a very important day for the Isle of Man in terms of legislation. And the man in line is going out on AM 1368 at the moment, isn't going out on AM 1368 at the moment, because we're having one of our monthly Radio Caroline weekends, which has been extended to 3 days, purely because the 14th of August is a really, really important day. And 53 years ago, the Isle of Man was at the centre of a constitutional crisis with the UK. Absolutely daggers drawn. As he was then, plain old Charles Carus, Sir Charles Carus, as he became, of course, was at the middle of, in the middle of negotiations with Miss Alice Bacon, the Labour MP at the Home Office, over the Marine and Broadcasting Offences Act 1967, which became law at midnight on the Monday, the 14th of August 1967, and it outlawed the operation of offshore radio stations by rendering illegal the operation or assistance by persons subject to UK law, prohibiting the carrying of water or air goods or persons to or from the structure or the ships. Basically, it meant that tendering and victualling ships and forts had become illegal, and the radio stations on those ships were basically starved of food and drink. But on the Isle of Man, the politicians said that as the UK was only responsible for international law, that victualling a ship, tendering a ship, was a national issue, and that the Isle of Man could continue, the Ramsay Steamship Company could continue to tender Radio Caroline. So the Isle of Man said that the Marine Offences Act doesn't apply to the Isle of Man. The UK government said it does, and there was a constitutional crisis 53 years ago. It came to a real head on the Isle of Man. Hello, Nita.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'm just on about that man that just didn't self-isolate. I think he was just very selfish. I don't think there's any problems with him. I think he was just selfish. You know, we've all self-isolated for more than 2 weeks, haven't we, at the beginning? And then what about the poor people that had bereavements and families couldn't go? You know, there's a thought for that.
Well,
people that have been locked in flats with children.
Everybody, lots of people have been through some really difficult moments. And, of course, we'll never know. We'll never know the desperation that people get to, as you say, when you're stuck in a flat and you can't go out. And at the beginning of this, nobody quite knew what was going on anyway, Nita, did they?
No. And then he's just come back and he's thought, oh, pot to that, I'm not going to do it.
Do you think 6 weeks in jail is a bit harsh?
No, I don't. I think it should have been longer. And in self-isolation as well.
Well, and of course...
he's putting everybody at risk as well, isn't he? What about, say it's an outbreak now, how can you tell about he's been into the pubs? Who was in the pubs?
Well,
how are you going to find out
that's
about
it. Well,
that?
That's it, and there'll be the track and trace will be going doolally now, because he went into the Manx Arms, he went to the Rosemount, he went to the convenience shopping centre on Windsor Road in Douglas as well, which I go into as well. I've been in there.
Yes, I do. But did he get on the bus to go up to Onchan?
Yes, he did. He took public.
Well, there you go.
He took public transport. Yeah.
Lots of people.
Well, his defence was, he said, he was bored. So he went to see his friend play music at the Manx Arms and went on public transport there and back. That was one of the things. And he went to the Rosemount to watch football.
Yeah, that's no excuse. What about everybody else that might have been bored? Locked down for longer than 2 weeks.
All right, Nita, everybody good to hear from
bored,
you. Thanks for calling us today. All right, appreciate your call. It's 1:45. So what do we do with this? Monitor everyone, do you think?
At Family Action, we understand the impact coronavirus has had on families. So we've set up a new confidential helpline to offer practical and emotional support during this difficult time. Our experienced, friendly team can help with activities for children, support around their emotional well-being and schoolwork, alongside parenting, financial advice, and so much more. Let us help you.
Call 611-568, Monday to Friday, 9 till 5pm. Family Action, building stronger families.
Onken Community Fun Day is this Saturday from 10:30am, with free fun activities during the day, including boats, crazy golf and much more. With special musical performances throughout the day until 9pm. Visit Onken Commissioners online and Facebook for more info.
The only private school on the island is opening a nursery.
Yay!
King William's College is welcoming little ones from the age of two to the Buchan School from the 1st of September. At the Buchan Nursery, children will receive a fun and unique blend of learning through play and high-quality early years education. They'll enjoy a range of activities, including Buchan bushcraft, music, swimming, French and more, including a sensory room and a STEM studio. To register your child, call 820110 today.
Feeling ignored by your financial advisor? Not getting the service you need or don't know what you're paying fees for? At Chase Wealth, we look after our clients. We provide you with regular reviews and updates and will always make ourselves available should you need us. Chase Wealth is a local family-run company that builds a relationship for life to help you achieve and maintain your goals. Call 640-350 or email advice@chasewealth.in. Chase Financial Services, trading as Chase Wealth Solutions, is regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Love Your Home is a revolutionary new app to take the stress out of your routine home maintenance. Your property is your biggest investment, so keep it in tip-top shape for less than the cost of a daily sandwich, with annual maintenance at the touch of a button. Nothing's too much trouble. Love Your Home will handle everything, from boiler servicing and cleaning gutters to fixing a leaky tap and full electrical checks, leaving you to get on with your life. Find out more at loveyourhome.in. Your home, loved by our family.
For lunch every day of the week by the harbour in Ramsey, it's not to be missed. And if you're making plans to see your favourite bands, make the Cool Bar top of your list. At the Carvery on Sundays, you know they'll feed you well. Carl and the team hope you'll give them a bell. Just call 813045, it's the Mitre Hotel.
Time for a jog then, yes sir?
Ah, why not?
On Manx Radio's Perspective programme this Sunday, for an island of less than 600 square kilometres, getting from A to B is a regular source of frustration for many. What are politicians doing to change how we travel?
Should we ditch the cars, or are they here to stay?
The bus is expensive.
Why would I want to cycle with the railway? It's absolutely chucking it down, mate.
I miss the horse trams.
Traversing Elian Vannin. Join me, Dolan Mercer, at this Sunday, midday to one. No need to go anywhere.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. Furnished by Magic Carpets.
11 minutes to one. It's a gorgeous Friday afternoon on the Isle of Man. It really is a wonderful weekend. The brewery, noting from G, Andy, the brewery should ban this bloke from pubs for a time. He put the health of the staff and patrons at risk because he was bored. More of a punishment than going to the Jerby Hilton. A note in to say, Andy, that fool that broke self-isolation rules should not have got 6 weeks. He should have got 6 months with that early release. We were lonely for 12 weeks isolation, but we stuck to the rules, says Lawrence. Bored, says Helen, all in capitals, question marks and exclamation marks. Bored, he won't be bored in Jerby. Best place for him. How do we know if this guy has been subsequently tested after his arrest, says Paul? Do they track and trace if he's not showing any infection? I had 14 weeks lockdown, says Billy. So 2 weeks to make sure he didn't bring COVID to the island. I hope they put him in isolation for the 6 weeks in prison, if anybody there could possibly get it as well. Andy, Karen says... draconian long sentences for not self-isolating. What does it cost? It's not cheap to lock people up. It sounds fine if there's a real risk, but it seems some people who commit to certain crimes get away with worse crimes than this. It is well. Thank you for that. A note in also that just says, thanks for the Caroline stuff, by the way. You can go to AM 1368. They're there. Or in fact, I think Chris Pearson's on Radio Caroline with Johnny Walker this afternoon, so you may want to listen to that. Some of the politicians who were involved 53 years ago, as I say, Charles Carouche, as he was then, was negotiating with the British Home Office. And politicians on the Isle of Man, as I say, saw things very differently when the UK government tried to impose the Marine Offences Act on the Isle of Man. Politicians had always wanted a high-powered radio station as the means of extending influence for the Isle of Man. Manx Radio's ambitions to broadcast to Britain had been thwarted by the post office. And Manx Radio in the 60s was limited to the Isle of Man on low-powered VHF FM. Caroline always endorsed the wonderful Isle of Man to a wider audience. And the Manx politicians wanted Caroline to stay and maintain that tendering and victualling a ship was a Manx domestic matter over which the UK had no jurisdiction. In April 67, as the UK House of Commons was approving the Marine Offences Act, the House of Keys voted to reject it from the island statute book, offering some hope for the future. The boss, Ronan O'Reilly, sadly we lost Ronan a couple of months ago. Ronan even announced he was negotiating with Manx authorities to bring Caroline on land so he could operate from the island. The UK Labour government, under the Prime Minister Harold Wilson, proceeded with legislation and the Manx government stood its ground and announced at the start of August in 67, 53 years ago, that the Marine Offences Act would be applied to the island, says the UK government. The Keys, of course, didn't want it. In fact, famously, Clifford Irving stood up in Keys and ripped a copy of the bill in half. The MHK, Roy MacDonald, who at the time was the Manx Broadcasting Commission chairman, proposed a resolution rejecting the forcing of legislation on the Isle of Man and demanded that they get the UN involved. Mr. MacDonald said that if the UK government could impose unwanted legislation already rejected by Tynwald on the Isle of Man, the door would be open for future similar moves. Basically, it was the thin end of the wedge. Keyes approved his resolution and the Lieutenant Governor, Peter Stallard, had to recall a full Tynwald from a summer recess to consider the rapidly deteriorating constitutional situation. It was massive news 53 years ago. It was all over the papers, and on the 3rd of August 1967, Tynwald's petition to the Privy Council Committee in England was rejected. The Queen was asked to sign an order in council imposing the legislation on the Isle of Man. And it happened. On the midnight, 14th of August, the 15th of August 1967, the Marine Offences Act took force in the UK. The Queen was on holiday, so it didn't happen until 2 weeks later on the Isle of Man, the 31st of August it happened. It took force on the 1st of September. But it woke up a cohort of Manx politicians, people like Clifford Irving. They all woke up and thought, if the UK would do this because a few disc jockeys were playing Beatles songs on Radio Caroline, the UK could do this for anything on the Isle of Man. So that whole group of politicians suddenly decided that that's where the Isle of Man needed to go, was to a bigger measure of independence from the UK, which is what we got, which is why the Protocol 3 opt-out from the EU, from the common market, was negotiated by Tynwald, and that's where we are today. And in no small part, it's due to people like Daffy Don Allen and Jerry Leighton and Mick Loveit, people like that who bobbed up and down on the motor vessel Caroline off Ramsey for almost 4 years throughout the 1960s. So 53 years ago, the Isle of Man was at the centre of a constitutional crisis. We lost Radio Caroline eventually. It did soldier on illegitimately until March 1968 when, because of unpaid bills, the anchor chain was cut and she was towed away. But Caroline plays a very important part in Manx political life, which is why you'll hear more about it and why you hear Caroline every month on Manx Radio. They're on AM 1368 today, August the 14th, and right across the weekend. Also on your AM player. That's it for the Man in Line today. Thanks to our studio producer, Howard Kane. Howie's on with Chris T. DeHaven. CDH&H on the way with Late Lunch on Manx Radio. If you want to get in touch, if you have any points you want to make, out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Or call our answer phone on 682-631. enjoy your weekend, and if you're going to the match tomorrow, have a good time. Hope we win.
W.